Malakabai Tomb, Hyderabad, India. Why shouldn't Chanda be proud, O Ali, in both worlds? At home with you, she eternally astounds with dance. Malakabai. Half a kilometer down the Mala Ali Hillock, in a nondescript location, the doyen of published Urdu poetry rests in peace. The first woman to have a Sahib I Divan, anthology of poetry, Chanda Bibi was born to a courtesan mother, Raj Kunwar, in 1768. She grew up in the aristocratic household of Nawab Ruknuddala, who was prime minister to the Nizam of Hyderabad. With access to resources through nobility, she grew up to be a master of horse riding and martial arts. Her command over Urdu and the court language Persian gave wings to her poetic abilities. Her lineage gave her a fine grasp of music and Kathak dance form. With these accomplishments, Chanda became the favorite of the Nizam of Hyderabad and many other noblemen. Flair and fame. After displaying her prowess in the javelin in two battles along with the Nizam Mir Nizam Ali Khan, he conferred upon Chanda Bibi the title of Malakabai, Visage of the Moon. Groomed on the art of diplomacy and matters of state policy, Malakabai remained the confidant of two successive Nizams and gained the status of senior Umra, noble. This accorded land rights, honorary guards, nobles palanquin, and drummers to announce her arrival. Courtesy master musician Khushhal Khan's training, Chanda's understanding of music developed, and she became renowned for composing a ghazal, a poem or ode, and sher, couplet. In 1798, she became the first Urdu poetess to publish an anthology, Sahib-i Divan, of her works titled Ghulzar-e-Malaka. 39 ghazals authored and calligraphed by her are a part of this collection. Love, faithfulness, intrigue, and enmity are the themes she explored, besides others. Most of her poetry ends with an invocation of Mala Ali, reflecting her piety despite being a woman about town. The legacy of Malakabai. It wasn't just poetry Chanda Bibi bequeathed to the world. She left behind monuments and buildings, including her mausoleum. A pavilion hall she built in the Mala Ali Shrine's courtyard. She used one of her palaces, Kasarang Mahal, as a training center for courtesans. She also built a Baradari, ornamented pavilion, in a walled garden that had a sarai, accommodation, and two bailey, step well. The pavilion housed the grave of Raj Kunwarbai when she built it in 1793-94. It later became a convenient facility for the pilgrims who came to visit the Mala Ali Shrine. In 1824, Malakabai died, and her grave sits next to her mother's. Architecture. Nizam's era saw an amalgamation of many styles of architecture in the buildings of the period. Malakabai's tomb is also one such, with Mughal and Rajasthani elements woven in. The ceremonial gateway carved in teak wood has poetic inscriptions on them. There are five constructs within the complex. The pavilion, two dalans, halls, a water pool and a mosque. Overlooking a Mughal-style garden, the Baradari is a vision in white with curved arches on its exterior. Round tapered pillars support the arches. The interior is signature Qubshayi architecture with pointed Deccan arches. And the facade has intricate jali, lattice, work and carvings. Most striking is the roof, a decorative screen creates an impression of another story where none exists. Neither is there a dome. That is because only royalty or saints commanded that respect. The two halls to each side of the pavilion are rectangular, bearing five arches. The number five is important to Shiite Muslims. Within this community, only the Prophet's family of five, Panjdani Pak, is revered, excluding all others. As a pious person, Malakabai also constructed a mosque within the garden tomb complex. For a woman in the 18th century to have reached such heights of power, it must have required a lot more than beauty and brains. The grit, resilience, and generosity shown by Malakabai Chand distinguishes her. With a low curtsy to this remarkable woman, I bring to you another gem next week from the Deccan.